excuse me, the book of Acts. We're in the book of Acts in our Sunday school hour, studying through it, and we're in Acts chapter 19. But this morning I want us to jump ahead a chapter to Acts chapter 20. The book of Acts and chapter 20. We're going to read a passage of Scripture here and then focus on one verse and then one phrase within that verse as we think about it this morning. Acts chapter 20. We're going to begin reading in verse number 17. Go down to verse number 24. Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 17. I encourage you to follow along in your Bible as I read aloud. Acts 20, verse number 17. Luke is writing about the adventures, the journeys of Paul, and in verse 17 he records this, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you, and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for this opportunity on this Sunday morning to gather together. Lord, how refreshing it is, Lord, to be in a good place among good people. Father, to have some good singing. And Lord, to look at the precious Word of God and be fed by its words, by its pages. And Father, I pray this morning that you would use me and the thoughts that you've laid upon my heart, God, to be a blessing here this morning, to be a challenge, to be an encouragement, Father, as we look forward to the year that's before us. Father, we don't know what things are going to befall us in this calendar year. And yet, Lord, we know that there are ups and downs, there's bumps in the roads, and there's smooth places. Father, there's blessings, there's burdens. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us to strengthen ourselves, to be encouraged, Lord, to rededicate ourselves, as it were, afresh and anew, to living for the Lord Jesus Christ, for loving Him, and for serving Him. We pray especially, should there be one today that's never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, God, may they recognize the emptiness and hollowness of their soul. Father, may they come to Him by faith, receiving Him, getting the forgiveness of sins, the new birth, the adoption into the family of God, and a guarantee of a place in heaven for all eternity. Lord, bless your word tonight, we ask. Feed us from your pages. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 20 might look familiar to some of you, not just because of Sunday school, and we referred to one of these verses in that, but about 4 or 5 months ago on a Wednesday night, I preached from this very passage, Acts chapter 20, verse 17 down to verse 24. And for those of you that weren't here, I'll just kind of give you a synopsis of what we preached that day. That's not what I'm going to preach this evening. But we're looking about the year to come. And we looked at Paul said in these verses in verse 20, he said, "But none of these things move me." None of these things move me. What does it take to move you? What does it take to get you away from Christ? For a moment, for a day, for an hour. And Paul said in these verses, there's some things that he was not going to allow to move him. And that's what I preached on October of last year. He said in verse number 19, he was not going to let men move him. The Bible said in verse number 19, serving the Lord with humility of mind, with tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Everywhere Paul went, the Jews opposed him. Everywhere he went, they persecuted him. They even followed him from one city. Once they'd driven him from their city, they followed him to the next city when they found out he was having a productive ministry there, and they drove him from that one also. Everywhere he went, he says, tears and temptations befell him because of the lying in wait of the Jews. He would not let men move him. You and I need to make sure that our relationship with God is not based on any other human being. It's based on our direct relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, if all men forsake thee, Lord, I'll not forsake thee. Now Peter said that with a little bit too much arrogance or cockiness in his voice for the Lord. And the Lord rebuked him for it. But that's the spirit that the Lord wants us to have. That no matter what anybody else is doing, we will be faithful and dedicated to God. We will not be moved. Paul wouldn't let men move him. Notice secondly in verse 22, and this is what we preach, he said, now I go bound to the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He would not let matters move him. You don't know what the year holds. You don't know what's around the corner. You don't know what 2022 is going to give to you. Oh, we'll gather together January of 2023 if the Lord hasn't returned and come back. And we'll look back over this year, much like we can look back over 2021 and over 2020. And we look at the things that happened that nobody could have guessed were coming around the corner back in 2019. We never would have guessed that we would be where we're at as a country, as a society today, with the pandemic that hit us, with the effect that it's had in so many areas on small businesses, on the economy, on jobs, all this stuff. 2-3 years ago, we never could have possibly imagined these things were going to happen. Well, what's going to happen in 2022? Paul said, there's some things I don't know what's going to happen in verse 22. He said, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know this, none of these things are going to move me. No man will move him. No matters would move him. And then in verse 24, we preached this back in October. But none of these things move me. There's the matters again. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. We worded it this way, Paul would not let me move me. It's one thing for others to have an influence and we lock down and make sure we're not going to be moved. We don't let circumstances or matters or things that happen out of our control affect our relationship with God. But our number one problem is not other people. Our number one problem is not circumstances or matters. Our number one problem is us. That person you look into the mirror and see every day. That's your number one problem. Because that person that you see in the mirror, that flesh that possesses you or that you possess, gives you a hard time. And many times wants to tempt and try you and get you away from your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul in these verses was putting his feet down on solid ground and saying, it doesn't matter who or what, even myself, might tempt me or try me, I'm going to be dedicated, I'm not going to be moved. And that was a great challenge from this passage back in 2021. Let's fast forward. Here we are on January 16th? 16th, right? January 16th. We're halfway through the month already. But I want you to notice that verse. Look at Acts 20, 22. You get that number? Acts 20, 22. Now, that's not a football score. Let me set your minds at ease for those that were with you last November. Don't worry about that. But it is 20, 22. And this thought jumped out at me in that verse, and I've already mentioned it already. Paul said in Acts 20, 22, he said, not knowing the things that shall befall me. And I think that's a good understanding of what's before us for the next 11 and a half months. We don't know. We don't know what's going to befall us. Collectively as a church, as a nation, as individuals, as Christians, we have no idea what's going to befall us in this coming year. We need to be ready. We need to be unmovable. Now, Paul's talking about a place. He said, I don't know, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, talking about going to Jerusalem. He didn't know what was going to happen once he got there. But we're taking that and applying it to a time period. And looking at where we're at right now and saying, we don't know what's going to happen in this year. Does anyone care? And please don't volunteer. This is just something I'm throwing out. Would anyone care to make any predictions for 2022? I'd like to say, well, the Lord's going to come back. And we sure hope He does. But as we've been saying, He probably won't. We thought He would in 2021. And boy, it would have been a great time for Him to come if He'd just been listening to us. Get us out of that pandemic. Get us out of the economy. Get us out of all that stuff that's going on. You want to make any predictions for 2022? I would be fearful to do it. You know, the Bible says in the Bible, if anybody makes a prediction that doesn't come to pass, you're to take them out and stone them. So anybody here want to make a prediction with that basis hanging over your head? I don't think we ought to do that. Where there's no predictions that we should make, because who could have predicted, as I've said already, in 2020, what would have happened nationwide when the Delta variant of the pandemic came around and we began to just see the first hints of it and the airlines begin to shut down and the businesses begin to shut down and you didn't know what restaurant was open. Well, back then you did. They were all closed. You didn't know what to handle, what to do, what to look at. Now we've got the Omicron variant that's coming through and we're not knowing how to do that. It is kind of refreshing. I don't know about you. I don't get a lot from news and from sources like that. I like to get my information from observation. I think that's a lot more instructive than anything else. Somebody else manipulating what you see and what you think and what you know. I like observation. And what I've observed is people are not panicking now like they did at the beginning of 2020. When that Delta first came out, almost everybody was scared and afraid. Now we've gotten used to it a little bit, and it's not that it's not a real thing, but people aren't as panic-driven, aren't much in panic mode anymore, even though the sources that be are trying to keep us that way. It just isn't working that way. What's going to happen this year? Is there a new variant going to come out? Is something else going to happen? We have no idea what this year is going to play out. Folks are caught up in politics. And of course, you know what politics is. Poly means many, and ticks are blood-sucking little creatures. And politics is, that's a good definition of what politics is. Whether it's the right or the left or the middle or the upper or the lower, whatever it is, politics consumes so many people's lives. That's why there's going to be an empty void sometimes in heaven for folks, because nothing, no politics to argue about, nothing to go over up there. What's going to happen this year with the political system? With the president and the vice president and their ineffectiveness. Sorry, I can't help but express my own feelings sometimes. With where our country is at that point and where we are with our relations with the Middle East and where our economy is and our military is and all that kind of stuff. What's going to happen this year? What's going to happen as we go into next year? All people are forecasting this thing or that thing. This is going to happen or that's going to happen. We don't know. Some of you probably watched the football playoffs yesterday. Who's going to win those playoffs? Tom Brady, greatest of all time. The Michigan. Oh, did I mention that? The Michigan guy. We don't know who's going to win. We're sitting at a point where we're looking now at the future and we have no control over it. And we can only sit there and guess what's going to happen because we don't really know. I'm put off by folks that know exactly what's going to happen. Here is what's going to happen, because usually they have no clue what they're talking about, and if you search their history, they've told you before exactly what's going to happen, and it didn't happen, so the credibility's shot. What's going to happen in 2022? Paul said, not knowing the things that shall befall me. So you and I, as we are halfway through the first month of this calendar year, and my apologies that this isn't January 1st and I'm preaching this, but as we are halfway through the first month, can I tell you, you don't know what's going to happen, so you better be ready. That's the whole thing. You don't know what's going to happen, so you better be ready. You're going to have some valleys this year, and you're going to have some victories this year. And that's the title of my message, Valleys and Victories. And we are all going to experience them this year. And one of the blessings of the church, the congregation, the body of Christ, is that whether you individually go through a valley or through a victory, we're all here with you to mourn or to rejoice. You will lose loved ones. Some of us will lose loved ones in this year. Some of us will go through difficult challenges and trials and times. Some of us will experience mountaintop events where we just get so excited and so blessed. And the thing I love about the church is that we can share in one another's victories and bear one another's burdens and get through this year together, because we have a common denominator. And that common denominator is our faith in Jesus Christ. It can get us through the valleys till we get to another victory. Can we think first of all this morning about the valleys? We'll start with the negative and end with the positive. That way you go out happy. Think about the valleys that can hit this year. And there's no way, again, we can know specifically what's going to happen in every individual life. But can I tell you this? This year, here's my prognostication here. This year, you are going to experience some disappointments. Can you just get ready for it now and accept it now? You are going to experience some disappointments. So, well, preacher, that's really a letdown. No, that's reality. Reality is not some folks stranded out on a little island dressed like Robinson Crusoe or something and surviving, whatever. That's not reality. Reality is understanding that the same thing happened, the Bible says, the same thing happens to the just and the unjust. And that just because we're saved and born again and washed in the blood of Christ, it doesn't exempt us from the disappointments of life. You will, someone this year will disappoint you. And I know that's not surprising, because this is the 16th day of the month. You've already had 15 days for that to happen, and it's probably happened already. Not to some enormous standard or big standard, but that's just the way of life. You will be disappointed. Someone will disappoint you. Circumstances will disappoint you. Something will happen. Not someone, but something will happen that will disappoint you. You counted on this happening or that happening, or this person coming through, or that person fulfilling their promise and keeping their word. And it won't happen. And you'll get disappointed in someone else, in something, or in yourself. Have you ever been disappointed with yourself? I'm looking around. Some folks are nodding yes, and that's not required. You don't have to do that. Some folks are not doing anything, and that's a safe bet right there. But what I'm noticing is nobody's doing this. Nobody's shaking their head in the negative. No, I've never disappointed myself. Because we do. We get disappointed in our actions, in our attitude, in our thought life. Have you ever stopped for a minute after some thought entering your mind, and you stop and you say, Lord, where in the world did that come from? Why am I thinking about that? Where did that come from? You ever experience that? You get disappointed in yourself. Disappointment is a Bible word. We're not going to turn and run it, but the word disappointment appears in the Bible because God knows we're going to have disappointments in this life. And what I'm trying to encourage you about this morning is not encourage you by saying you're going to have disappointments, but warning you that you're going to have disappointments. And to be ready for those disappointments, because when disappointments come and they're not handled or dealt with, you know what they become? They become discouragements. Disappointments become discouragements. And when we move from disappointment to discouragement, we're going lower in the valley. And I've seen a lot of Christians over the years get disappointed in others. You know, you hear this all the time. Why don't you go to church? Well, I went to church one time and I was mistreated, or I was this. That's a disappointment. Well, disappointment's going to happen. But don't allow it to become discouragement. And that word discouraged is in the Bible also, because that is a reality. And if we're not careful, when we get disappointed in others, it will discourage us and we will lose time. You know what the worst thing about disappointment and discouragement is? It affects our attitude, it affects our actions, and we lose time. We talked about it a little bit in Sunday school, and we won't get into it a lot, but that verse 20:22, Paul says, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Paul was determined to go to Jerusalem. It wasn't the will of God for him to go to Jerusalem. He was warned not to go to Jerusalem, but he was determined to go to Jerusalem, and he did what he wanted to do. Though being warned of God not to do it, he did what he wanted to do. And you know what it cost him? It cost him 2 years of his life. Because when he went to Jerusalem, ended up getting sent to Rome, he got put in a prison. And his three missionary journeys came to an abrupt halt. There might have been a fourth missionary journey. In fact, there was. But it was after his two-year imprisonment, he was set free for a brief period of time. He had a two-year dead space in his life because of disappointment and discouragement. Now that's the Apostle Paul. I'm not belittling the Apostle Paul. He's up there as far as we're concerned, spiritually speaking. We're not within a stone's cast of the Apostle Paul in his closeness and relationship to God. But if discouragement and disappointment could cause him to lose 2 years of his life, you can lose 24 hours, a week, a month, by being overcome by disappointment and discouragement. Because those two things lead to number three, and that's depression. When disappointment leads to discouragement, discouragement often leads to depression. And when you get locked into depression, it's hard to get out. A lot of times as preachers, we like to say, well, there's no such thing as depression. But the reality is we see it all the time. That disappointment and discouragement affect someone to where they get to a place of depression, and in that place of depression, they're a blessing to no one. When you get locked into that thing of depression, you're not a blessing to others. You're not a blessing to yourself. And you're certainly not a blessing to God. Now again, can you understand? We're not saying these things to be judgmental or harsh when those things happen, because every one of us has had that happen to us. But we're sounding the warning here of saying, we don't know what's going to befall us in 2022. But we know that if we're not careful, there's going to be disappointments that will lead to discouragements that can lead to depression if we're not careful when we're down in that valley. Oh, the valley is a dangerous place to be. Now, maybe when you think of the word valley, you're not thinking about what I'm thinking about. You think of the valley of the jolly ho, ho, ho. Everybody under 40 just said, what? You're thinking of that valley with flowing brooks and pretty stones and green grass growing everywhere. But you know what? That's not the biblical definition or description of a valley. A valley is given in the Bible as a contrast to a hill or a mountain. And the word valley, just for reference, the word valley appears 140 times in the Bible. And the majority of them, of those 140 times, are negative. Now that's good instruction from the Word of God. Instruction that we don't normally hear or comprehend or see. But listen to this list of the places where the word valley is used in the Bible. In Numbers 14:25, we're not going to turn to these, there's about half a dozen or so of them. In Numbers 14:25, the Bible tells us that the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. The Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. The valley is where the enemies of the children of Israel dwelt. There's a great lesson in that. For you and I, the world lives in the valleys. And when we get down in those valleys, we are putting ourselves in a position where disappointment and discouragement and depression can enter in. We need to keep our relationship with God. The Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Numbers 21 verse 4 simply describes it as this, a rough valley. A rough valley. Deuteronomy 21 verse 6 talks about those that were beheaded in the valley. Notice how that word valley is always connected, or many times connected, with something we wouldn't vote for. Being beheaded. Something we wouldn't count as a positive experience. But the word valley is associated with that in the Bible. There's a thread, a meaning, a teaching there. In Deuteronomy 34 verse 6, the Bible says that they were buried in a valley. In Judges 16:4, you know this story. Samson was tempted by a woman named Delilah. Where did he find Delilah? Where did he meet her? Well, Judges 16:4 says, Samson loved a woman in the valley of Sorek. Samson's downfall came by loving someone in the valley. A woman of the valley. Isaiah 7 verse 19 talks about desolate valleys. But what I'm trying to do is show you that in the Bible, that word valley is connected or tied to, the majority of times, something negative. Something not to look forward to. In Jeremiah chapter 19 verse 6, the Bible talks about the valley of slaughter. In Jeremiah 31:40, the valley of dead bones. Nobody would want to go into that valley. The word valley in the Bible is associated with negative things. Ezekiel the valley of dead bodies is also talked about in Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 40. And then you remember the valley of Eshcol? That was the valley where the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt. The children of Israel went to spy out the land, and when they went to spy out the land, they saw grapes that were gigantic and fruit bigger than anything they've ever seen. But along with the grapes, they saw the giants. The giants were in the valley. The valley. The valley. You're going to experience valleys this year. You're going to experience low points in your life. And the Bible prepares us for it by making us understand what those valleys are like. You know that great battle at the end of all time is held in the Valley of Megiddo. The word valleys is also used, and I'm not going to give a list of those, but it's also used 28 times in the Bible. So 168 times the word valley or valleys appears in the Bible. All but one of those are in the Old Testament. Isn't that interesting? Only one time out of 168. Only one time is that word found in the New Testament. And it's in Luke chapter 3, verse number 5. Where the Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ comes back, every valley shall be made plain. Plain by being raised up to a plain. Every valley shall be filled in. Every valley shall be made plain. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, the disappointments are over. The discouragement's over. The depression's over. But until then... But until then, they're going to be here because we are in that valley. Even the songwriters knew the danger of the valley. Life is easy when you're up on that mountain. You've got peace of mind like you've never known. But when things change and you're down in the valley, don't lose faith, for you're never alone. We talk of faith when we're up on that mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But down in the valley of trials and temptations, that's when faith is really put to the test. And the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times, He's still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. The songwriters knew there's going to be valleys. And it's down in the valleys of trials and temptations that the Lord is going to allow us, and it's that simple, isn't it? He's going to allow us to go into this year. You're going to experience valleys. Now, I don't sound like a television evangelist by telling you bad things are going to happen, but I've got to warn you. Sue's sitting here with a boot on her left foot. Tendon problems from her heel to her toes. Anybody else want to volunteer for that problem? You want to volunteer to have to walk around with a boot? Now, I checked Ed to see where he'd been kicked, to see if there was any bruising anywhere, and there's not anything there. But things are going to happen this year. Things are going to happen that are going to discourage us, to depress us, take us down. Be ready for those. You say, "Preacher, what can I do when that happens?" I'm glad you asked me that question. Turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Bad things happen in the valley. And the valley is going to pop up more than one time during this year. You're going to get disappointed and discouraged. So what do you do when that valley comes? Psalm 23, you know it very well, verse number 4. Psalm 23 and verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Now that's probably a darker valley than 99% of the other valleys. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What happens when we walk through that valley? Well, the psalmist said this, "I will fear no evil." Why is he so cocky? Why is he so arrogant? Well, he's not. He's not saying, "I'll fear no evil because I can handle it. I'll fear no evil because I'm up to the task. I'll fear no evil because do you know who I am?" No, David, this shepherd boy said, "I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." You're going to go through a valley this year. Disappointment, discouragement, possibly even depression. But can I encourage you that when you get in that valley, and when everything looks dark and bleak, and it seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel, and all hope is lost, that we shall be saved, as Paul said on his shipwreck one time. Remember this, Thou art with me. God is not just with you when you're on the mountaintop spiritually. And you know, we need God more in the valley than we do on the hillside. We need His presence more in the valley than we do on the mountain. Someone has pointed this out. Grass doesn't grow on the mountain. Grass grows in the valley. And if you and I are going to experience spiritual growth in 2022, not knowing the things that shall befall us, we know this, we'll grow through our trials and temptations, through our disappointments and our discouragements. If we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will grow. I want you to see one other verse about these valleys. You turn to the right just a little bit. Go to Song of Solomon. After Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, just a few books over. And you know this phrase, you're familiar with it. Maybe it'll be helpful at this time. I've got to get the right book too here. That will help. Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse number 1. Here it's written, "I am the rose of Sharon." This is written about the shepherd in Song of Solomon. There's a wonderful story going on in Song of Solomon. We don't have time to look at it there, but the shepherd says this. The shepherd is a picture or a type of the Lord Jesus Christ who is to come after. He said, "I am the rose of Sharon," notice this, "and the lily," that's a great word, "I am the lily," and I like the next one, "of the valleys." I'm so thankful that's plural. I'm thankful that's not lily of the valley, but the lily of the valleys. You know why? Because you're going to go through more than one this year. And every time you're going through the valley, the Lord has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. The psalmist said, for thou art with me, even the valley of the shadow of death. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When you get in the valley, look around. Look for that lily. Look for that one flower that's blooming, that in the midst of the darkness and disappointment will give you hope to keep going on. Because there's always a lily in every valley. We just have to find it sometimes. We have to look for it. Because sometimes it seems like it's a lilyless valley. But when we go through that valley, He is the lily. In 2022, Paul says, I don't know the things that shall befall me there. In 2022, next 11 and a half months, we have no idea who's going to be here at the end of the year. Some might be taken by death. Some by departure. The Lord might replant you somewhere else. You might have to move out of the area, something like that. You have to move a long way away to not come back to Bible Baptist Church anyways. Even 60 minutes is worth the drive, so that's not a problem. But the Lord might relocate somebody somewhere. Or, if you don't get looking for that lily in the valley, and the valley overwhelms you, you might not be here January of 2023 simply because you chose not to go anymore. You let the valley overwhelm you. And that happens over and over and over again in the lives of so many believers in Jesus Christ. Not saying they're not saved. Not saying we don't love those that we know of that are like that. But a lot of folks just get in that valley and never get out again. They weren't ready for it. They weren't prepared. They didn't know the things that would befall them. And when they got there, it overwhelmed them. Look for the lily of the valley. Valleys, I said, and victories. And I've only got a few minutes left. Well, that's terrible when you only got a few minutes left for the positive side. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, if you would. We'll just cut to the chase here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Yes, valley is a biblical word, and a great lesson is portrayed by the usage of the word. But victory is also a Bible word. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you this morning, you are going to experience, if you stay faithful to Christ, and that's the key, if you stay faithful to Christ, you will have victories this year. It might be a new job. Right, Dustin? It might be a raise at your current job. Every employee says, yes, amen. It might be blessings in your family. It might be prosperity of some way or another. It might be the Lord coming through. I've spoken to someone who said they have a prayer list. And they've got like four or five things on that prayer list. And at the top, they put in the word impossible. It's impossible for these four or five things, whatever the list is, to happen. And over the past couple of weeks, as we've been conversing and talking, a couple of those impossibles have been scratched off because God's come through and answered them. Because with God, nothing is impossible. And in 2022, there's going to be some victories in your life. There's going to be some things that you don't think God could take care of, that God, and not that you don't think He can, you know He can, but you don't think He will. And He'll take care of them for you this year. Hang in there. Because there's going to be victories. Notice, I like here in 1 Corinthians 15, and again, cutting right to the end, go down to verse number 57. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll have some victories if you'll stay faithful to Jesus Christ. That's the key. When you go through the valley, keep your head held high. And don't be afraid of the storm. I think there's a song like that somehow. Look for that lily that's growing in the valley. Understand the Lord is with you. His rod and His staff will comfort you. And understand that through that valley, the Lord will give you victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so prone to try to work the things out ourselves, to manipulate the situation ourselves, to control things ourselves. Let go, Dr. Don Green always used to say, let go and let God. Let Him give you the victory through Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been struggling with the sin. The Bible talks about in Hebrews, the sin that so easily besets us. Maybe there's a temptation that keeps giving you trouble in your life. Give it to God. Stop trying to fight it on your own and in and of your own. Now do what you can, but let God take care of it. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if that thing that's bothered you for a year or 2 years, whatever temptation that is, that in 2022, God gave you the victory over it. He can give it through Jesus Christ our Lord. A lot of things going on in this world. We've talked about already. A lot of chaos. And of course, you understand that the world exists to make money. And the way that they make money is to create one problem after another, and one chaos after another, and one concern after another. Don't buy into it. That'll steal your peace in a heartbeat. And understand, sometimes we need victory. I've seen a lot of folks this year saying, I'm signing off Facebook for 6 months. Now, I haven't done that, so... But a lot of folks have done it, and I say, more power to you. If that's a problem, get off there. And it is a problem to a lot of people. It consumes them, time, energy, wasted, doing nothing. And as I say that, I'm starting to get convicted. I need to get off of it too. I like the connection with family. I like the connection with children and nieces and nephews and church people and all that kind of stuff. And I like that, but... Sometimes just what's going on in the world, we need victory over that. We need victory over the pressures of the world and the concerns of the world and the thing that consumes the world. We need victory over society, the worldliness, the times that we're in. You know, folks, let's be honest. I was thinking about this just the other day. I was talking with somebody. I can't remember now who it was, but we were talking about what preachers preached against 30 and 40 years ago. Many times church members do today without even thinking twice. And the scary thing about that is what we're left preaching against today, 30 or 40 years from now, our teenagers might be doing. This world, is as much as we love the Lord and are dedicated, we're riding on a train in society in this world. We're aboard a train that's going in an ungodly, wicked direction. And it's hard to jump off a moving train. Not that I've ever tried, but I can imagine it would be. You know, tuck and roll. I know you're supposed to do that. Is that what you did, Sue? Tuck and roll? Okay. It's hard to get off that train, and most of us are on that train, and I mean this. I mean, that train of society and where everything's going. And of course, when you try to get off that train, you're an outcast. You're a strange and peculiar person. But you'll have victory when you don't have to go the way everybody else is going and do what everybody else is doing and buy into what everybody else is buying into. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Valleys are going to come this year, folks. Keep your eyes on Him. For Thou art with me. He's the lily of the valleys. Watch for Him in those difficult times, and those difficult times will come. Trudge through them and enjoy the victories. Because I've learned by experience that when you climb the mountain, and this is not necessarily physically, though in my younger days I've done this, when you climb the mountain and reach the peak, there's only one direction to go after that. Unless you can sprout wings and grow a little higher, once you get to the peak of the mountain, the only way to go from there is down the other side. And a lot of times, and I find this in the Bible, when there are great moments of spiritual victory, I think about Elijah on the top of Mount Carmel, having that contention with those prophets of Baal, and having that great victory where God sent down fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. And here is Elijah on the top of that mountain, And the people are all saying, the Lord is God, the Lord is God. And there's a great spiritual victory on that night, and God opens up the windows of heaven and pours out rain, which it hasn't done for 3.5 years. What a great event. And then you turn the page and you find Elijah down in the valley under a juniper tree saying, God, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. And you're thinking, wait a minute, is there something in between those two I missed? How did he get from that mountaintop over to that valley? You know how he got there? Life. Disappointment. Discouragement. Depression. His came, by the way, of a woman named Jezebel, who sought his life for what he did there. There's going to be mountaintops. There's going to be valleys. But the Lord will be with us through all of them. Paul said in Acts 20:22, not knowing the things that shall befall me. Would you tell the Lord this morning, I'm ready for 2022? Just tell the Lord that this morning. We're going to stand a minute, sing a song of invitation. Just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm ready for 2022. Not because of you, but because you are now aware that there's going to be some valleys and you're ready. The worst thing is when the valleys blindside us. Be ready, they're coming. Be ready for the victories. The victories will put you way up there. Oh, but what happens next is going to be tough. Not knowing what things shall befall me. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.